Pastor Ken, you know, it's funny because we knew we had no concern while we were off. You know, the enemy can try and get fear on you. But, you know, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you feel like you're going through the fire, all you got to do is let the fire of God burn off that which keeps you bound. Amen. So if you think you're in a situation, you feel fearful, just turn to the word and let the fire take off the fear. Let the fire take off whatever shackles you. Because those three men came out and they said there was not even a sound, not even a smell of smoke on them. Hallelujah. The only thing that got burned up is what kept them bound, the ropes. The only thing that burned is what the enemy is going to try and put on you when you get into the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, that's not even in my notes. So I want everybody to stand up for a second. This is a little bit more about the anointing. Can you bring up Isaiah 61? We're going to repeat this. Everybody ready? Say, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be free. Amen. Say, that's me. Can you be seated? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can have a place to gather and to bring you glory and honor. A ministry that touches lives around us, and we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is about building yourself up. And the exciting thing about it is that, you know, the anointing is used to build us up. It's used that we can go out and set the captives free. That part that says opening the prison to them that are bound, in Hebrew, it means opening up the prison is a term used to open people's eyes or to change their understanding. So what we have to do is when we go out, and we have to bring a change of understanding to people. We have to tell the world that God loves them, amen? We have to tell the world that they are free, amen? We have to tell the world that they can be better than who they are and that God loves them. You know, so many times, and I think I've shared this before, so many times, you know, you talk to people and you get a Hollywood mentality of God, that he's up there ready to throw a lightning bolt as soon as somebody does something wrong. An attitude that people think that God is mad. God brings destruction. God brings the storm. God brings COVID. God does this and God does that. Why is it always, what's God doing? And we got to be able to go and preach the good news that the bad news doesn't affect me. Because we have the good news, amen, that God loves us. Bad things happen, but that God loves us and will get us out of that. We have to change their understanding, amen. We have to realize that we as believers, that the anointing is within us because we are to be ministers of reconciliation, reconciling the world to God and God to the world through Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to do. You know, Isaiah 10:27, it says, so it will be in that day that the burden of the Assyrian will be removed from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, that the yoke will be broken because of the fat, the Amplified says. I like that because, you know, some of us are not 120 pounds. I've never been smaller than a size 34 waist, except maybe when I was 10. I've always been a big guy, so I was like, look at that. So that to my wife. I said, look at that, honey, I can be fat. That's not what it means. It means to have a big neck. It means to be saturated and full of the presence of God. Amen. But it's exciting that it says that it's in that day the burden of the enemy will be removed from the shoulders and his yoke from your neck. You know, the yoke is the learning. Jesus said, take my yoke. Take my learning upon you. Learn from me. It's just a symbol that we have to continue to renew our mind, continue to bring that to others. Now, the thing is about building up is, how can we set someone free when we're bound ourselves? Amen? Because we are free. We have to understand that as believers that we are free. We are children of the Almighty God. And that no matter what we're going through in the flesh, we already are free. We already are victorious. We already are the children of God. Amen? And that's what we got to continue to renew our mind. I think one of the most exciting classes I think at Bible college is one of the ones that, not that, you know, all the other ones aren't good, but when Pastor Steve teaches about the authority of the believer, learning who you are, your righteousness in Christ, We have to have an understanding that we are righteousness because of him. We have right standing with God. It's not based on what we do. Because if it was a gift given to us, because the word says righteousness and grace is a gift, then that means we all we have to do is receive it. If it's based on what we do, then that means I can lose it. And we can't. My right standing is based on what he's done, right? My healing is based on what he's done. My deliverance is based on what he's done. My prosperity is based on what he's done. My freedom is based on what he's done. Everything in my life is based on what he's done. Amen. So if I get up and I get mad at my wife and I get mad and lose my temper, I'm still righteous. I might not look it, but I still am righteous because I can't just lose it because of that. You know, the word says that, I'm just going to turn, this is not my notes, so it'll be in Galatians for a second. Galatians 3:1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, it says, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Who, he's talking to the Galatian church because they're trying now, as born-again Jews, somebody's come in and told the Gentiles, okay, you're saved, but you still can't have ham sandwich. You got to keep the law. You're saved, you still have to pray 3 times a week or 3 times a day for 10 minutes facing the east gate. This is what these Judaizers are trying to do. So Paul says, who has bewitched you? Who has taken the truth and twisted it? It's like wicked, like a wick for a candle. It's twisted. They've taken a little bit of truth, a little bit of religion, a little bit of legalism, and they've twisted it. So Paul says, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you into believing that the Holy Spirit, because he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And as believers, we know we receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Amen? I could be perfectly good and all that and not accept Jesus, going to hell. And that's hard sometimes as people to realize that you get people that are totally nasty, they get born again and they're going to heaven. Even though the next day, looking at them, they probably haven't changed because it takes, like Pastor said, our spirit man is perfect when we're born again. Our body doesn't get born again, but our soul has to be renewed and takes a little bit of time. And that's what we got to look at. That's why if you look at Scripture, Paul says in one instance, he goes, I am saved. Then somewhere else he says, I am being saved. Then another time he says, I will be saved. And I used to think that's kind of weird, but if you look at it, it's because the spirit man is saved, perfect. His soul man is being renewed, being saved, but his spirit man is perfect and saved, and then the body will be saved. So we got to realize that we receive the Spirit, not because of what we've done, but because of the hearing of faith. And that's why, you know, we come into a service and you know, one pastor's there and they're sharing, and he says, you want to receive, you know, the gift of Spirit, you get baptized in the Spirit, you want to receive speaking in tongues, just receive. You know, we always try, and I used to think we had to work it up. Okay. And I remember that when I first got saved and I was sitting there and I heard about people speaking in tongues and I used to think, oh, okay. Okay, that didn't happen. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go over here and I'm going to try this and I'm going to try that. And, you know, not to make fun, but, you know, I had roommates and we were all trying to do different things. And I had one roommate and he was speaking in tongues. He's telling me, he goes, well, we'll do this and when this happens. And then you hear, well, you got to tarry and go to the upper room because that's what the scripture says. So then you're waiting, you're tarrying. Well, if you want to follow scripture, like specifically, well, then you're going to have to go to the upper room in Jerusalem to get baptized by the Spirit. You can't just take parts of scripture that you want. It was already poured out, amen? It says the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. So he's already done. All we have to do is just receive it. Now, I go to, you know, I've been to some churches. They don't speak in tongues because it's not preached there. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Right? So if you don't hear about speaking in tongues, you're not going to believe in speaking in tongues because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. It's the same as healing. Healing comes by faith, by hearing and hearing of the word. So if you don't ever get taught something, you'll never know. Doesn't mean, you know, that you're not saved. It just means that you don't get the fullness of God if you don't hear everything that's in the Word. So speaking in tongues and being baptized in the Spirit, getting filled with the Spirit, if these are terms that are new to you, you'll hear that a lot here because we're a full gospel church. Amen? But faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. So we don't have to wait. We don't have to sit there and say, well, I'm going to speak in tongues once I quit smoking. Because then it's a works. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. Did you receive the Spirit by hearing of faith or because you kept the law? You know, I remember we were in the church. We were there. I think it was just after we got married. And there's this guy, and he just got saved. Came in. I think he might have got saved the week before. He'd come a little bit, went up, got saved, sits down. Like he, like interrupted the pastor, like kind of during worship exhortation. He's like, and the pastor's looking at him. He's like, well, he goes, can I accept Jesus now? And Pastor Carl's like, well, usually you wait till the end, but yeah, come on up. So he's like, you know, like, okay, because it does. It throws you, oh, well, usually it's at the end. So he comes up, prays for him, gets saved. Kid goes and sits back down again. Worship carries on. All of a sudden, he gets up, starts speaking in tongues. Has a word, interprets it. It's like, sits back down. Also, partway through the service, do you remember? He pulls out his cigarettes, his meth, all his stuff, and throws it on the altar. And it's like, instantly set free. I'm like, Lord. Yeah, victory. I'm like, okay. What happened there? It's because God spoke to him. And I can't remember, maybe the pastor was speaking on deliverance, but he received it, and it was just like that. You know, like he might have grew up in a church and had seeds planted in his life and stuff like that. But it was like, I remember thinking, speaking in tongues, giving a word to edify the church. And he has cigarettes in his pocket and needles. And he does. He comes and he puts them on the altar and goes, sits back down. Some of us were like, ah. Other people were like, hallelujah. Another one into the kingdom of God. Because cometh by faith and hearing by faith. Amen. You're born again. You don't have to wait for nothing. Usually it's our own mindset. So one of the things I want to talk about is I know, you know, Pastor Ken was talking about, you know, I have my notes here. But he was talking about that. But I'm going to touch on building your inner man in different aspects and building yourself up. One of them is building your inner man. It says in Proverbs 25:28 in King James, he that ruleth over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. It's like a city that's broken down and without walls because we have no defense. Our defense is this. When the enemy tries to come at you, it's the word of God. Amen. We have to build our spirit. I was going to turn to Nehemiah for a second. I'm not going to do the whole story. Can you go to Nehemiah 1, verse 10? This is a story about Nehemiah. He's working for the king, an unsaved king. Well, not unsaved. He's a non-Jewish king. He sits there. He gets a letter that, because the people had taken, you know, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've all been taken away into captivity. This is years later. So he gets a letter that some of the people are going back to Jerusalem, and they've got there. They've sent a letter to Nehemiah that they're in Jerusalem. The city's there. There's people living there. But the walls are a mess. There's no defense. So in verse 10, it says, now these are the servants of thy people thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. Next. O Lord, beseech me, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. Pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of man. Next. For I was the king's cupbearer. So the story is, he gets this. But I love it. Can you go back to verse 10? These are thy servants and thy people for whom hast thou redeemed by thy great power and thy strong hand. So at this point, they're redeemed. The people are redeemed. They're back in Jerusalem, but they are not restored. We have to realize as we build ourselves up that we are redeemed, but then we got to become the redeemed and the restored. Amen. Whatever the enemy's taken, he's taking your peace. Get born again. Build yourself up. You can have peace. Amen. He's taking your freedom. He's put fear upon you. You get born again. You can build yourself up so you can walk in victory and walk in freedom and have no fear. One of the biggest things, I think, as believers is having fear. You know, my pastor was sharing when he came in the other day, and he said that he was looking for me, and part of his mind goes, oh, maybe he's downstairs. I'm like that sometimes. I don't hear something, but I don't hear from my kid for like 3 days or 2 days. I'm like, what's going on? I'm going to phone them, see what's going on, kind of thing, you know. And I have to watch myself. I can get to a point where I can start to be concerned or start to worry, whatever. And I have to watch myself. And that's what I love about the fact that we can build ourselves up so that we can pray in tongues and we can say, okay, and just get a peace about the situation, about the kids, about the grandkids. And it's like, okay. Because you can pray for something and you just feel released, you know. You can say, yeah, everything's okay. But we have to realize that part of that being as a believer is that we have to build ourselves up, build a spirit man, so that we have enough defense. So when the enemy comes in, says the Spirit of the Lord rises up. Amen? So we have to realize that we need to have a strong spirit because we need to be able to have a defense. And our defense is the word. When the enemy comes in, the only thing he can do is put thoughts in your mind. That's why the word says, take every thought captive. Obedient to Christ, to the word. The only thing he can do is place thoughts in your mind. He can't make you do anything until he places a thought in your mind. And if you take it, then you start to, what's going on? What's happened there? What did I hear about this? What's the news saying? And that's why we have to be careful as believers. We have to be careful of what we let into our ear gate, amen, what we watch. You know, like I said, and I've shared, and I share all, you know, quite often with some of the young guys that when, you know, I don't go and look at, I don't look at, like, Playboy and stuff. I don't even look at, like, what do you call it, Sports Illustrated or Maxim or nothing like that. And I had somebody ask me one time, why not? I said, because. Why would I want that? I said, well, I'm married to a woman that I find very beautiful. You start looking at that, even if they're not naked, but you start looking at stuff like that, what happens is you place a thought in your mind, young men, and you'll start to realize that, and you'll start to compare. Oh, well. And I don't even go there, amen? It's like going to work, and a lady asked me one time, you know, I drove right by her place. You want to save money? We can carpool together. Nope. My marriage is not worth $20 a month or $20 a week in gas. Nope. I didn't say that to her. I just said, no, I like to by myself, and I don't always go straight home. She's like, okay. Like, she didn't mean nothing by it. She was very innocent. But, you know, I've been and worked at a couple of places where people start very innocently carpooling. Next thing you know, 6 months later, they're having an affair. Because you get into the place, you get mad. I leave the house. Matt, my wife, who do I talk to? The person in the car, whether it be a guy or a girl. You know what she did? Well, if I was your lady, I wouldn't do that to you. Right? It's a thought process. So the word says, I'll believe for the $20 worth of gas and keep myself, think on those things that are good and pure. Amen? So part of it is, in Jude 1:20, it says, but ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's what I love about the anointing, is that we can pray in the Holy Ghost. This is the one time in Scripture where it says most holy faith. Not just holy faith, most holy faith. And I believe it's because when you're praying in tongues and you're building yourself up, it's bypassing. It's coming from your spirit and it's coming out. It's bypassing your head. Sometimes I go through something, I don't know what to do, or I'm not sure about something, or there seems to be a hindrance. Why am I not receiving my, healing, but why I said use a different example because all you use is healing. So if you believe for something, when we met, I sat there and I was like, that could be my wife. Yeah, it could be my wife. I said, will you marry me? She's like, yeah. Then she broke up with me. 5 times. Year and a half later. But you know what? What I think about her, I'd like, oh, rata shikiri andarbo. Because I like being married. Like, Lord, you bring me a wife. Father, I just like to thank you, Lord. Boom, rata tebe shikiri andaraboko. And it might just be a matter of building myself up and praying to say, okay, is there a hindrance in me? Is there something I need to change? The Lord spoke to me one day. You want to be married? I said, yes. You want to be a good husband? Yes. Act like it. Act like you are married. Oh, so act like you are married. Act like you already have a wife. Then maybe you'll receive a wife. That was just me, but it was from praying in tongues. The one time I asked her again, you want to marry me? Because we'd go out, we'd be friends, and we'd, you know, start to see each other and think, oh, yeah. And she's like, no. And then you know what? Somebody asked me to marry her. So I went out and got the ring that day. I said, let's go. But it was the same thing. She was doing that, believing for a husband, The Lord spoke to her one morning as she's praying in tongues, and the Lord spoke to her and showed her things in scripture. Bing, 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 bing. And she's like, okay, and that's when she phoned me. I'm like, you broke up with me 2 days ago. Don't want nothing to do with me. Now you want to go for breakfast. 25 years later, eh, baby? A part of, also, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for any other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, this is building your ministry. Not a church, not a fivefold ministry, not, this is building your ministry. It says in Mark, Jesus said that you go lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed, that you'll speak in tongues, that you'll go out and do these things. Because it's talking about works. What are you going to do? When you get people saved and you're doing something and it's in the right motive to God, then it's gold and silver, and it'll stand the trial in the last days or whatever you want to, you know. But if you have something that your motive is wrong to do what you're doing, then that's what's hay and wood. If you're coming and you're saying, okay, you know, pastor, I want to come and help out the church because you want to build a ministry yourself, but you know what, I'm going to come along, pastor, and build my own ministry, then that's hay and wood, and that won't last. Amen. I remember telling the Bible college a couple months ago, a pastor asked me to share something. And I remember saying, I don't even remember if he said to me a few years ago, we moved up here because God called us here. We knew God called us here. We had to pray in tongues a lot about God calling us here because it's Thunder Bay. No, because it's far away from me. My wife's from up here. But it's like, you know, so we were you know, up here. And I remember when Pastor said to me, he goes, I can trust you. You didn't come here to take my ministry. And I was like, that's like challenging. It was kind of neat to hear that he trusts me, that I'm not here trying to build a ministry over top of his, but building a ministry submitted under him. Amen. And that's what this means. I come to church to do things because I want to make the building presentable or to do this or to do that. And I do it, try and do it to the best of my ability because I love God. Amen. I want to do things with other ministries in this town, and I do it because I love God, because I want to be able to come alongside somebody and say, you know what, brother, I can come alongside you and help you do this. And I've been able to do that. I've been able to sit there, never been to Bible school or Bible college, you know, never been to college other than the trade school, but it's exciting that I can come up here and share the word. Pastor, trust me to come up here and share the word, because it's an honor. I can come alongside another ministry in this town and sit there and share and mentor some of the guys there. That's an honor. That is an honor, and I feel so privileged to do that, and I'm hoping and believing that it's not wood, hay, but that motives are always pure. And part of that's by building up, not my ministry that way, but building my ministry in the sense of doing that, that my works, your works will be challenged. So even when you're at work and you're doing something and you say to the guy beside you who's hurt or who's sick, and you say, you know, can I pray for you? You know, to step out and ask the guy, ask your neighbor, can I do this for you? Can I do that for you? Can I do this for you? Can I pray for you? A lot of times it's very easy to sit there and ask your neighbor if I can pray, if you're going through something. You know, I know a fellow we know, he was going through, he drove a truck, did deliveries. And he had a fellow that harassed him big time, persecuted him, made fun of him, mocked him, just terrible. 3 o'clock in the morning, his son was going through something, and he phones our friend. He goes, can you come and pray with me? And it's like, you know, it'd be very easy to say, no. After what you did at work today, and he went, got the guy saved, got his son saved, and set free. And it was phenomenal, because he had a relationship with him. Because you're praying in tongues, and you're lifting yourself, and you're building your ministry. Not a ministry. I know Pastor and Miss Anita, they pray for their ministry. But also as believers, we all have a ministry. Amen. Your ministry is the person you work with. Your ministry is your husband or your spouse or your kids. You know, that's your ministry, whoever God's put into your life. If you started a business, your customers come in, that's your ministry. Amen? And you can do that. 1 Corinthians 3:9-10, in King James, it says, "For we are all laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, and you are God's building." So your building, still going back to Jude about praying in the Holy Spirit, that you pray for your church. It's one of the things, three aspects that we all know here, is to pray for your church, support your church, and bring your talents to your church. And that's it. That's God's building. And one of the things is we are all God's building. So part of that might be where it says in Jude, in one version it says you pray for each other in your most holy faith, is the fact that when you're just praying, is that we are all to, if you're praying and you're praying, you're thinking about Foy City Church, and you're like, "Oh, hey, Lord." And I've had it the odd time that you sit there and all of a sudden somebody might come to mind. It might not just be the pastor or Pastor Ken or Pastor Dave. It might be, you know, some of you sit, or you might see a face, or you might think, "Oh, it's, I don't want to say any names, you know, to, oh, I was praying for you, you know." But it's like, you might sit there and think, okay, and just pray for him. You don't have to phone him up. "I prayed for you today," you know. Just pray for him. And then what's beautiful thing about praying in an unknown tongue is he could put me on Ernie's thing, and because I know Ernie prays, and he could be praying in tongues. He doesn't need an interpretation. He could just, "Oh, my, you know, my mind comes, my face comes to his mind." Or you get up in the morning, it's like, "Oh, brata teshika, yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord." I don't need to know what I'm praying. If you come to mind, I don't need to know why I'm praying for you. Right? It's not up to me. I can just pray for you, and all of a sudden you feel a release. Anybody ever had that? You're just praying for somebody, and all of a sudden you just feel a release. Okay. Then I don't have to phone somebody up. What happened? Because sometimes I'm like that. "You need to pray for Fred," because there's no Freds here, I don't think. "You need to pray for Fred because I heard this happen to him." That becomes a gossip instead of prayer. But, you know, you got to pray for God's building, which is us. Amen? Not the building, God's building, his garden, his husbandry. And that's part of building ourselves up. Because you know what? I know that when I'm strong, Miss Grace is strong. When Miss Grace is strong, Jean and Jerry are strong. When they're strong, Robbie's strong. When Robbie's strong, right? We're all strong when we're strong together, amen? And we're all in it together. We are family. You're stuck with me. And I'm stuck with you. But you know what? Because we're family. I might not know you all, but we are family. We are believers in this local fellowship, and we should be praying for each other at home and praying for the church and building ourselves up. Amen? And when we sit there and we think about each other, it should be coming to prayer. I don't have to know exactly what's going on in your life. You don't have to know what's going on in my life. But if you get an urge to pray for somebody, it could be 5 minutes in prayer, just 5 minutes. And just like, "Oh, not, oh, bless Fred. Okay." You know, but pray. Okay. But you know the scripture where it talks about intercession in Romans, and we use it. I'm not sure exactly where it is. But there's a scripture, Pastor Ken might know. You know where it says that all these things work together for those? No. Romans 8, I think it's Romans 8:26. I think you're right. Isn't it nice when you have a pastor that knows the word? Yes, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those that are called in God, for those who are called according to his purpose." Okay. How many times do we use that scripture? "Oh, I got into a car accident on the way home, but all things work together for those that are in Christ." Because it's a good scripture. Because if I didn't get to a car accident, I might have got the other car accident, which was worse. I was late for work. I got stuck by a train. But all things work together for those that are in God. We use that. And there's nothing wrong. Scripture is good. That scripture is good. The context of that scripture, though, is when you get awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning and you have a burden to pray for somebody because you're interceding, because the scripture there is based on intercession. That's what that's for. All things work. You lost 4 hours of sleep last night because you were praying for the church, or praying for Spirit of Life, or praying for Pastor and Miss Anita. All things work together. Amen? That's when you sit there and say, "You know what? God will give me rest. I can still get up at 7 in the morning, even though I've been awake since 3, and praying. I'm not going to fall asleep at work, because all things work because he woke me up to intercede for somebody." That's what that scripture in context is about. Even though we can use it for other things, because God is, you know, God is good. But that specifically, for people that are interceding, all things work for the good of those that are together in Christ Jesus. Amen? We have been okay so far? Okay. And also, it's also Ephesians 2, 20 to 22 says, "And we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, growth into a holy temple in the Lord." This also is about your building, but this is about where do you fit in? Where? Not just about praying for your church. I should have had this one before the other one. Because you need to pray to make sure you're in the right church. Amen? Because when you're in the right church, God will meet your needs. Amen? When you know, I know where I'm supposed to go. I know where I'm supposed to go. So when the church moved from there to here, it's the other side of the city. You know, I had somebody ask me, "Are you still going to go there?" I was like, I already moved 1,200 miles to come to this church. Another 10 minutes is not an issue. I know where I'm supposed to go. I'm here to support Pastor and Miss Anita in the vision of Faith City Church. That's why we're here. We prayed about it. Sometimes we have to continue to pray about it. Like when you lose your job, you think, okay. And it is. To be honest, I'm like, because there was an offer. But there was something down south. I'm like, hometown. It's easy to go back to your hometown. Amen. I don't want to tell her that, but I'm like looking online going, I could do that. And God says, where? Well, I could do that in London. God says, no. Okay. And that's fine. I'm okay with that because I know where I'm supposed to go. That's why you take every thought captive and you don't sit there and go, oh, I lost my job. Must be time to move. No. What did you say? Was that you? No. No, because I know where I'm called to go. Amen? And that's what we have to realize, that if you're called here, you're called here. If you're online and you're called here, you're called here. Amen? And because we know we're called here, that no matter what happens, so if you walk in next week and the sanctuary is painted pink, it doesn't matter, we're called here. Amen? If you're called here and all of a sudden, you know, something else happens, what we're called here, amen? We're called here, and that's what we got to realize. And that could actually be good for a lot of people, because I've been there, going to a church, not realizing I was supposed to go there, then going to a church, not realizing I was supposed to go there, and going to a church before I got settled in where God wanted me to go, and I was good for 3 years, and then God moved us. Like I said, we come up here for 2 years, got a job offer, moved for a job. Don't move for a job. If that's your motive, don't move for a job. Because you'll be spiritually frustrated. It's the best way I can say it. We went back. We had friends, family, good job, finances, and we were miserable. Miserable because we knew we weren't where we were supposed to be. We went to it was a good church, but it wasn't where we were called. Amen? That's why when people say, "Well, what church do you go to?" I go to the one God called me to. It might not be for you. Right? But if it is for you, then plug in no matter what. And that's the thing. Is that's one of the first things. When you first get saved, go to the church that God's called you to go to. Then when I know that I'm here and I'm supposed to go here, I have no problem praying for the church. I have no problem putting my talent here. I have no problem bringing my money here. Amen? Can I borrow you for a second, young man, Blake? You know, because God will ask us for things. And then if you're praying in tongues and you're building yourself up, you know that you'll be anywhere God's called you to be. You'll be in the place he's told you to be. You'll marry the person he's told you to marry. And you'll do these things. So if I said, "I need $100. Oh, he did it too. Okay. Now, where'd you get that? My wallet. There's a reason for that. Part of me was hoping he was going to say, "I don't have 100. I was going to say, but God will not give you anything that he will not ask for. Did you count that? Count that before you go. So the thing is, you got to realize that if God's given you something, he won't ask for you something he hasn't already given you. Amen? So how much is extra? You can have the 10. You can give that to my wife. But he won't give you anything that he won't ask you for anything that he hasn't already given you. So when you're praying and he's built something up and you're praying in your most holy faith and he's put something in you, he's asked you to lay hands on somebody, that means he's given you the anointing to lay hands on somebody. Amen? If he's asking you to pray in tongues, that means he's given you the anointing to pray in tongues. If he's given you money to give to somebody, that means he's given you the money already to give to somebody. Amen? He won't ask you for something he hasn't already given you. Well, I don't know what's there. Then pray in tongues. It'll come out. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. It's to edify, to bring a release. It's to build you up. It will release you into what you have. And that's what the anointing is for. The anointing is to come forth out of us. Amen. Whether we're praying in tongues, whether we're preaching the gospel, whether we're doing the best job to our ability, like leadership, we talked about work. Whatever we're doing, we are to do it to the ability because the anointing places that within you. We're not all called into fivefold ministry. Some of us are called to be plumbers and electricians and carpenters and machinists, but we do it to the best of the ability that we know that God's placed within us. Amen? And that's what we have to do is realize the anointing is there so that we can live a godly life and have purpose to be a reconcilers to bring God to the world. That's why the anointing is there. And what we have to do is build ourselves up for ourselves, a defense with the word, so the enemy can't touch us. The enemy can't touch our families. The enemy can't touch our church. Can't touch our workplace. We build up. We build up that wall. When Joshua went into Jericho, they were not afraid of the army. Doesn't say Jericho had an army. The only hindrance they had was the walls. Once the walls came down, there was nothing. They just walked in. So when the enemy comes against you, we have to make sure we have a strong defense. It has to become, and part of that is also tied into where you go to church. Because in Revelations, it says that there's the wall around the new Jerusalem is built on the 12 apostles, built on the leadership of the 12 apostles. So the wall around us has to be built on the fivefold ministry, which is why you have a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist. Amen. It's built on those things. So we got to realize that we build ourselves up, we build a defense according to the word of God. That's why you got to build your ministry or build what God's called you to do, whether it be a housewife or a homemaker or whatever he's called you to do. And then build up your body in a sense. Amen? Build up the church, whether it be praying for the church in Toronto or praying for a church somewhere, but you pray for your church as well and the church universal. Amen? That we have the anointing there so the church can be strong. Because he says, you know, I love that the scripture that says that Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I used to laugh when people say use. I heard use. But actually, that's what that means. It's actually a plural. In Greek, it's plural. Because he's not saying Christ in you. Paul says, Christ in you all is the hope of glory. It's not based on one person. It's all of us together. Amen? Everybody stand up for a second. Just going to repeat after me for a second. Say, Father, I thank you that I am anointed. I thank you I know where I'm supposed to go. I thank you I know that I have an anointing in me. I thank you that the anointing destroys the yoke. And that I can learn of you, Lord, to bring you glory. I thank you, Lord, I have a strong defense that the enemy cannot come against me because I have the word indwelling within me. I thank you, Father, that I do all this for your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.